Turn your Bible this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 9 through 12. I'll read the odds, verses 9 and 11, if you'll join with me on verses 10 and 12 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you found that, please stand in honor of reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that we may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. And let's pray this morning. God, we have another opportunity this week to open up such a good book. Lord, your holy book, I pray this morning that we would focus our minds and our thoughts on things here this morning for what you have for us. A lot of things going on in this world. I pray that your Holy Spirit power be upon the message, upon the messenger, upon us as we listen as well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sound that saved a poor wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Unbounded grace, amazing grace.
No doubt about that. Amen. Good song, Brother Scott, for us this morning. I want to draw your attention to this passage in just a moment. We're going to jump into it. I'm going to speak on the subject, no instruction necessary. No instruction necessary. I think the title fits the message. You'll catch it as we get into it. No instruction necessary. So let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for your grace. Thank you for the good reminder of that unbounded, amazing grace that reached us and brought us to Christ and saved us. And Lord, I don't know the condition of every person's heart in this room. Only you can know that. But if somebody is here, apart from you this morning, apart from your family, I pray that today the grace of God might work in that heart to draw them to Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, that You'll bless this message and what You put on my heart to say, and bless both speaker and hearer, that we all may learn together this morning in Jesus' name. And amen. School for the year 2015-16 is just about over. No one is moaning or suggesting that it be extended for a week or so. From what I've been exposed to, they are all very excited. They can't wait to be out of the classroom. The books will be closed. The assignments will be completed. The test will be taken and graded. The report cards will be passed out. They can't wait. And I'm talking about the teachers. I'm sure that the students feel close to the same way. Anyway, I'm talking about the teachers this morning. But now, seriously, school is very important, and we try to take it seriously here. It is where kids and others are taught. Teaching is such an important part of our development mentally in the area of knowledge and so forth. And it's just an important part of life. Now, that's one of the reasons also God gives His people a pastor. God has graciously given us a big book of truth here that we call the Bible. And boy, it's just a big old book of truth. And then, you know, according to Ephesians chapter 4, we don't have time to go there, but according to Ephesians 4, God has called some men to be pastors and teachers, and they are given to the church to help the people of God know and understand the book of truth. According to Ephesians chapter 4, the teaching and preaching of God's Word does three things. Number one, it helps the saints of God to mature. So the preaching and teaching of God's Word helps us individually to grow up. Number two, it helps the church carry out the work of the ministry. The pastor is not specified as being the only one to do the work of the ministry. The church collectively is called to do the work of the ministry. And the pastors and teachers are given to help prepare the church for the work of the ministry. And then number three, it builds up the church body. It builds us up corporately as a local body here on this street corner. That's according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Now, God has given each one of us who's saved the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit? Man, the minute you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in your body, takes up residence there. And the Bible says, according to John 16:13, that the Spirit of God, quote, guides us into all truth. So this person of the Holy Spirit teaches us the Bible. The person of the Holy Spirit instructs us in the Word of God. But that doesn't mean that pastors and teachers are unnecessary. God still uses men as pastors and teachers to teach and preach the truth. And hopefully, if the pastor or the preacher is plugged into the Spirit of God and His will for this hour, and you're plugged into the Spirit of God and His will for this hour, we're going to have a good time in here because I'm going to teach and preach, and the Spirit of God's going to help me do that. The Spirit of God's going to help all of us understand something. And that's how it works, okay? So, yes, the Spirit guides us into all truth, but God uses men as pastors and teachers. Now, that's what Paul was. Paul was a pastor and a teacher, an evangelist, okay? He would pastor for a short season, start a church, pastor for a short season, move on and start a church somewhere else. More like a missionary evangelist. Now, he wrote the church in Thessalonica. He started the church in Thessalonica and probably was its pastor for a while there. And now he writes them this letter. We have it in our Bible here called 1 Thessalonians. He writes for several reasons. He wrote to teach about God's truth, about different matters. We didn't read this, but in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, Paul was teaching them about the important matter of sanctification. What's sanctification? What does that mean? It means being holy. It means being separated. It means being clean. It means being pure. It means being set apart. So who's that for? If you're saved, it's for you. You're set apart to the glory of God. From the world unto Jesus. What the Bible teaches. It's the matter of sanctification. We won't study this. We won't go through it this morning. But in verse number 3 in this passage, he is specifically talking about living holy when it comes to the matter of fornication. God's people ought not be involved in any form of immorality. Look at it in verse number 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your holiness, your separation, your being set apart, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's what Paul's talking about there. Plain as day. God's people ought not live like the unsaved people live when it comes to the matter of morality. There's a place for physical intimacy. It is within the bonds of marriage. That's where God ordained it to be. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. We won't have time to go, but he said in verse number 5, he said, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Verse number 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. His vessel, that's your body. Friend, you're doing a dishonor to your body. You get involved in intimacy outside the bonds of marriage. That's what he's saying here. Then in verse number 5, don't live like the unsaved people live, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, a reference to unsaved people, which know not God. Okay? Then in verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. So don't defraud your brother in any... What's Paul doing? Paul's teaching. Paul's instructing. He's giving knowledge here in the Word of God. He's putting it out there for the people to hear, for the people to understand. He's teaching, he's preaching. This is what pastors do. This is what evangelists do. They preach and they teach God's truth to God's people. I got saved over 40 years ago, 1975, in October. I'm sorry about that light. We replaced the bulb this week only to find out that it's not the bulb, it's the ballast. And that keeps going on and off. I'm sure it's distracting to you folks. It is to me. But it is what it is this morning, okay? So if that happens again, that's what's going on there. We'll hopefully get it fixed this week. Got saved. September, October of 1975, and boy, I'm thankful that I got into church. And I got under the leadership of a pastor, and I got under the direction of a pastor who preached the Word of God. And hopefully, I think maybe it happened. I hope it did. I began to grow and mature as a Christian. I began to understand the work of the ministry. And I was an active part of the church body that was being built on the truth in Tennessee in those few short months that I was there. And I did that. That happened because I had a pastor who began to teach and preach the Word of God to me. So Paul is teaching here. He's instructing. He's covering many different topics. And then we come to verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Isn't that interesting? Paul is in the midst of writing and instructing and teaching and preaching. And then he comes to verse number 9 and he says, when it comes to one subject, when it comes to one matter of the Christian life, it is not necessary that I write to you. It's not necessary that I teach you. It's not necessary that I instruct you. And here's why. You are taught of God about that one subject, and that one subject, that one matter that Paul said, there's no instruction necessary. That one matter is a matter of brotherly love. You're taught of God to love one another. This matter is so elementary, it's so basic, it's so foundational, it's so natural to a child of God. It comes with the territory of being saved. It's part of the nature of a Christian, a real Christian, that they love their Christian brothers and sisters. Paul said, I don't have to spend time on this. I don't have to give you any words on this because God teaches you to love each other. Folks, there's a lot of things about the Christian life that you and I have to be taught about. There's a lot of things that where we need instruction. I've been saved, like I said, over 40 years. I still need Bible instruction. I still need Bible teaching. You say, well, don't you do it? Yeah, I do it. But I need to go once in a while and sit and listen to somebody preach the Word of God. Because I haven't mastered this book yet. There's some things in this book that still elude me. I'm sure they still elude you. And that's okay with me. But there is one part of the Christian life that Paul said, we don't need anybody to instruct us about. And that's the love you have for each other. The love that you have for one another. Now, this subject was talked about by Jesus Christ when He was on the earth in His public ministry. In John chapter 13, we don't have time to turn to all these verses. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, these are His words, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." In John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." In 1 John 3:11, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." 1 John 4:21, "And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also." Folks, there's something not right about a person who claims to be saved but doesn't love his fellow brother or sister in Christ. Something's not right. Paul said it's so basic. It's so elementary. It's so clear. It's so plain. I don't have to write to you about it. God teaches you to love your Christian brother. Now, the church that Paul was writing to, this church in Thessalonica, folks, this is a local church. This was a local assembly. Look around this morning. You see the crowd that's in this little room right here? This is what they had then. This is not some invisible universal body that doesn't exist. This is a local church, a local assembly of born-again baptized people. And Paul is writing to them. And this church was doing very well in the area of brotherly love. Look at verse number 10. Look at what he says here. "And indeed, ye do it." What's the "it"? Well, the "it" is a reference to verse number 9, brotherly love. "And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." Oh, there it is. There's the universal church that God, that invisible. There were other churches besides the one at Thessalonica in Macedonia. There was a church in Philippi that was in Macedonia. There was a church in Berea that was in Macedonia. And Paul said, "Hey, church at Thessalonica, hey, local assembly of born-again baptized believers, you are doing well in this area of loving your brother. In fact, your love for your Christian brother extends beyond the boundaries of your own church to other churches in Macedonia. You love the believers at Philippi. You love the believers at Berea." Now, folks, obviously, if they loved the people in Philippi and they loved the people in Berea, they were doing a pretty good job of loving their own church. When Paul said that, when he said in verse number 10, "Indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia," it was understood that they were practicing brotherly love in their own church. This church in Thessalonica. Now, I got a question for you this morning. I'm asking you, how are you doing in this area? How are you doing in the area of loving your brother in Christ? Right here. In this room, in this building, in this local church assembly, have you opened your heart to the people of this church? Is there someone here that you've shut out of your heart because of personality or because of lack of common ground socially or because of jealousy or because of envy? How are you doing? You know, this is elementary. This is so elementary that Paul said, "I don't even talk to you about it." This is so basic. This is so first step Christianity. Can you speak to every person in every section with an open heart, with an honest heart, with a clear heart? Is there somebody here you can't talk to for some reason? You know, there ought to be, there should be, there's got to be a tie between the members of this church. And that tie is brotherly love. And Paul said, this is so basic, this is so elementary, that God's people in Thessalonica didn't even need to be taught. They didn't need a preacher or a teacher because they're taught of God to love one another. Taught of God. Again, it goes with the territory. It's part of the game plan. It's part of the nature of a born-again child of God. His or her heart, if you're born into God's family, naturally your heart is going to be opened. In fact, folks, 1 John chapter 5 makes it very clear. That's, or 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, I think, makes it very clear. That's one of the evidences of being saved. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You love God's people? You love God's people here. Here. Well, I love God's people. No, you love God's people here. This is what he's talking about. This is one of the characteristics of people who belong to God. They love each other. It's one of the evidences. I've had people come in, and my wife said that Mrs. Wagenschutz touched on this a little bit yesterday, on people doubting your salvation. And I'm glad she dealt with that. I'm glad, whatever, I don't know what she said, but once in a while people come into the office and they've got a problem with doubting their salvation. And, you know, sometimes it's just people's emotional makeup is not as stable as somebody else's. And in some cases, folks made a profession when they were little and never got saved. And they need to get born again. But, you know, what I try to do, I don't try to, well, did you cry? Tears don't save you. Well, did you say the proper words? Look, I think all words are is an expression of what took place in our heart. Well, did you mean it? Well, put a definition to that. I give people five things. Five evidences that God put in His Word that says if you're a born-again child of God, you're going to be like this. And if you're a born-again child of God, you'll have this evidence. And if you're a born-again child of God, you'll have this evidence. And I'm not going to go through all of them right now. But but one of them is if you're a born-again child of God, you'll love your Christian brother. You know that you passed from death into life because you love the brethren. And this is what God, this is what Paul is talking about here. These people were taught of God. They had a deep love for each other. They had a deep love for people in other churches. This was a very natural, common sense, basic, elementary part of the Christian life. And Paul told them not only about your local church, but that it extends beyond your local church to other areas. And then he said in verse number 10, look at the end of the verse, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. Just develop a love for God's people more and more and more. You see, kind of the older you get in the Lord, the longer you're saved, you don't love less of God's people, you love more of God's people. More and more and more. Let me make an observation here this morning. Listen carefully. When someone does not get or understand or receive teaching, they sometimes have to repeat a grade. Right? That's what happens. It's not the rule. Once in a while, it's not common. Once in a while, there are cases where a student is advanced a grade. I mean, the work is just so easy for them. Why take it? They put them in. We've done that here at the school. Rarely. Once in a while, there are times when the student is held back. Just because, for whatever reason, they didn't get it. And by the way, parents, we have had that happen a couple times. It's not the end of the world if your child gets held back for a year. It's how you approach it. That's a whole other subject. Now, let's take first grade. First grade's a pretty important foundational year. There are basic facts that are established in first grade, and even before that, reading, and I'm not talking about Common Core nonsense. I'm talking about education. What our government has passed off as education is not education. It's ridiculous. You learn phonics. You learn math. You learn numbers. A says A as in apple. B says B as in, what was it? What? Ball. C says C as in, think of something besides cat, folks. Come on. I mean, I went through that. The flashcard. D says D as in dog. E says eh as in egg. Hey, on and on. Foundational. Now, if a student, now this is to stay with me, if a student doesn't get it, And they come to the end of the year and they don't know Ace as an apple. They can't do their alphabet. They can't do the basic 1 plus 1 or 2 plus 2. But, you know, maybe they're held back to relearn those foundational truths. That there are some, hey, there are some great things waiting in second grade. There are some wonderful things waiting in third grade. Wonderful things waiting in fourth grade. But if you don't get this, it's going to be difficult to get that. Could there be a Christian who never advanced to the next grade level because for some reason they didn't get the A says A as in apple and the B says B as in ball and the basics is that you love your Christian brother? It's foundational, it's elementary. It's so foundational, so elementary, it's so natural after you're born into God's family that you found this place of people that, boy, love you and you love them. And you know what? If it doesn't happen for some reason, there are fascinating and there are helpful truths in the Bible that are available to be learned, but maybe they're not grasped because they're for fourth graders. And if you don't get what's in first grade, it's going to be hard to get what's in fourth grade. You say, man, I've been coming to church for years and I just really have a hard time learning anything about the Bible. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about your Christian brother? Not the one that you have something common with. Not the one with whose personality you mesh. How do you feel about the Christian brother whose personality you clash with? I go to church with them, but I can't stand them. Oh, that'll get you somewhere. That'll get you to fourth grade. No, the truth of the matter is, you know what happens, folks? That's going to get you held back in first grade. God said, before I open your understanding, open your eyes to any of these wonderful deep truths of my book that can change your life and give you something, I mean, just fascinate you. If you can't get the basic part of loving your brother, that's where we're going to stay until you get it. Truth of the matter is, I haven't met too many mature Christians who don't have a genuine love for God's people. That's interesting to me. Because Paul said, you're taught of God. I don't have to write to you about this. I don't have to preach to you about this. I don't have to instruct you, church. You're taught of God. Listen, friend. Listen, members of this church. If Faith Baptist Church, I'm talking to, and Faith Baptist Church is not this building. It is not this drywall. It is not that concrete block wall. It is not the brick facade. It is not, that's not the church. You and I are the church. And if our church, you and me, aren't earmarked by the love of the brethren, then shame on us. Somebody told me, Brother Steve DeVries told me that he was out just when I came in the door out here. He said I was listening to the Hammond radio station. He said Brother Wilkerson was talking about the Revival Fires conference here. And he was talking about you. I said, did you hear it? I said, no, I don't. I didn't hear this. He said, well, he's talking about how that we're, you know, staying by the book or something like that. Right, Brother Steve? Staying by the book. Hey, I'm glad, right? I'm glad to be known as that kind of church. I also hope we're known when people come in here and they leave, they say, you know what? That church is not only staying by the book. Those people really love each other. Those people really love each other. You know, in a family, I'm talking about your family at home, my family at home. Isn't it interesting where, you know, older siblings who sometimes, you know, have personality clashes with each other, when a baby comes along, everybody loves the baby. Everybody loves the baby. Everybody wants to hold the baby. Everybody wants to touch the baby. Everybody wants to be around the baby. By the way, folks, when baby Christians come to Faith Baptist Church, that's how it ought to be. Everybody ought to love the baby. Yeah, but they what? The baby can't control his bowels. The baby spits up on you. The baby cries. And you love him anyway. Well, so-and-so, you know, so what? You get saved out of the world, you got baggage. You get saved out of the world, you got problems. We don't love the baby because of how far they've come. We love the baby by the fact they're born into the family. Love the baby. Families that love each other take care of the old. Take care of the elderly. You kiddos around here, you need to respect the elders. Don't run over them. You're taught of God. This is basic, foundational, first grade, elementary. This might be simple enough to call it Common Core. Common Core. That's what I should have called this sermon. Common Core Christianity. So basic. Look. Once in a while, I am surprised by little things that happen, that are said or done, where it reveals deep issues in a person's heart toward another church member. Time out. I'm not talking this morning about a fake, unrealistic, kind of goofy kumbaya existence in a church. Everybody has personalities that some people have personalities you're attracted to. Some people have personalities you're repelled by. Right. Some have more in common than other members have in common. Not everybody is going to be best buddies. I don't think that's realistic. But when there are attitudes of dislike or ugliness or rejection or jealousy or envy, somebody's not getting it. Because that's foundational. You may not be their best friend. You may not hang out with them. But for heaven's sakes, you can look them in the eye, shake their hand, say, man, it's good to see you. That's brotherly love. There are many areas of Bible truth, many areas of the Christian walk where we need to be taught. We need to be taught and retaught to understand and grasp. But brotherly love is not one of them. There ought to be an atmosphere of brotherly love in this church among our members. And friend, that is a basic, foundational, elementary lesson that the Bible says we are all taught of God. Are you taught of God? Listen to this verse. 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's real gray, isn't it? That's real warm and fuzzy. You're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Somebody says, I love God, but I can't stand God's people. That's impossible. That is absolutely not possible. The Scripture says, you're a liar. And you're probably not lying about how you feel about God's people. What you're lying about is that you love God. You cannot claim to love the invisible God and not love the God that's in His people. Can't happen. How are you doing? In this basic, foundational, elementary, natural lesson that just goes with the territory of being saved. Can you look across the room this morning from side to side, back to front, and say, you know what? There's nobody in this building that I have an ugly spirit against. Nobody. I see some of you looking around. I don't know. I got to check this out. You have multiple kids in your family. As a parent, your personality is attracted to some of those kids more than it is some of the other kids in your own flesh and blood family. I had kids, flesh and blood kids. Their personality clashed with mine. Wow. I had some of those kids, our personalities just meshed. I love them. I love them accordingly, right? The ones that had a good personality with mine, I loved up here, and the other ones I loved down, right? Don't answer that. You'll ruin my illustration here. Yeah, I loved them all across the board, and did the same for all of them, because that's the heart of a parent. Look, he said, man, what happened while you were gone? Somebody said, no, they said anything. I'll tell you what happened. I told my Sunday school class. I'll tell you what happened. It's God's Word. It's called God's Word. Last Monday, Mom and Dad, when they eat breakfast, and then they have their devotions. And their devotions is they read, you know that little Baptist bread book we give out? Well, they use one called Our Daily Bread. It's been around longer than Baptist bread. They read Our Daily Bread, and then they read the Bible passage, and then they read the book. It's so structured. Now I see why I'm like I am. Dad reads the Scripture. Mom reads the little book. Dad reads the poem. Mom reads the last statement. That's how it is. It's fixed. Don't mess it up. So Dad's reading the Scripture. He can still read. He still has he has trouble with some words. So he's reading. The reading is 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12. I'm just sitting there listening. And I kind of know the passage at the beginning. I preached out of the four part of the chapter that in the verse 3 about sanctification. Understand it. And then he's reading along, and I'm sitting there listening to Dad read, and he reads verse 3, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God. Now my mouth dropped. How have I missed that all these years? That's the depth of this book right here. You can't exhaust it, friend. It's so real and relevant, fresh today. Man. What a book. My jaw dropped and I said, listen to that. Taught of God, the love word. That's where this message came from. It came from God speaking. I didn't get anybody telling me, boy, while you were gone, somebody chewed somebody out. Good, I got something to preach on Sunday. It's just God's book. It's God's message for this morning. I want us to take a stand for the truth. I want us to take a strong stand for the truth. 2 Sundays ago, last time I was here on Sunday, I preached about this target mess, which has just expanded to other places because we have an adamant society hell-bent on defaming God. But I come here to tell you, in the midst of taking a strong stand for truth and not swerving or swaying from the Word of God, that we can't ever get away from this basic foundational element of you looking down the pew from where you're sitting or across the section or from the back to the front or the front to the back and looking at the faces of people that are members of this church, and you look at them and say, you know what, that's my brother and I love him. She's my sister and I love her. Our personalities clash. We don't have much in common. But I'm so glad they're my brother, my sister. That's a common core. Plain stuff. Great big. I could not wait to get here Wednesday night to have church with you folks. I was so excited. Because I love you. Well, that's what a pastor is supposed to do. Where did you see the word pastor in here? Did you see the word pastor anywhere in there? See that? And I can say this morning, that God, to God be the glory. Those of you who are members, you go to church here. I can look you in the eyeball and say, I love you. And I mean it. And it's not in a funny love. It's not in a weird love. It's a genuine, God-taught love that should be common to a church assembly. And I think it begins with knowing the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, saved people. So I don't have a clue what you're talking about, Pastor Angel. Maybe you're not saved. I'm not ugly. Maybe you need to get saved, born into God's family, and experience God's love personally and for other people. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and we ask the Heavenly Father to speak to our hearts now. And God, we bow for a moment of meditation and thoughtfulness about this. And Lord, would you please cause us to understand and think on this passage while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And would your Spirit please examine our hearts. If there's an issue with this, put your finger on it this morning. Help us to repent of it, to be cleansed. And Lord, this will bring revival. This is revival-type preaching. Thank you for these brothers and sisters who are here this morning. Thank you that they're part of your family. Thank you that I get to go to church with them. Thank you that I belong to this place with them. Thank you for these people. Work in our hearts this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now look, just be honest before God. A raise of hand is not an admission that you hate somebody. But who's here this morning would say, Pastor, somewhere through the course of the message, the Spirit of God said something very specific to my heart. Would you just raise your hand as a sign of that this morning, wherever you're sitting? Would you do that? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, I should have lifted my hand. I was a little hesitant, but the Spirit of God did say something specific to me this morning along this way, along this line. I should have raised my hand. Would you raise it now? I should have raised my hand. Well, yes. God bless you. I appreciate it. Father, bless these this morning. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for speaking to my heart. God, may we grow more and more in this area. May our love for each other be deeper, more real, more fervent. I think about that verse that says to have fervent charity. Above all else, have fervent charity among yourselves. Fervent love. Love in action. God, help us. Thank you for these brothers and sisters in Christ today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask this question. Somebody said, Pastor, you talk about salvation, saved, going to heaven. I am not sure about any of that. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I have no assurance of that. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up this morning so I could ask God to speak to your heart? Just slip your hand up, take it right back down. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure I'm saved. Somebody else? I'm not going to call you out. Just going to pray for you. Anybody else? Father in heaven, I pray for these. Lifted a hand this morning. I pray that you'll draw that person to Christ. Bring salvation close to that heart. May they reach out and receive it, Lord. Give sweet assurance if they're already saved. Work in hearts this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've been saved but not baptized, you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Now's the time to do that. Or come to talk to one of these fellows about it this morning during the invitation time. If there's anybody like that and you came prepared to be baptized this morning, come now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word this morning. Speak to hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name. Here's what we need to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not sure that you're saved, I prayed for you like I said I would. I would invite you in a moment when the invitation begins. We invite you to talk to one of these people to find out how to be saved. We have ladies to talk to ladies, men to talk to men and boys. We have that figured out. We can help you with that. We invite you to come. Invitation. We invite you, Christians, to come. You raised your hand, said God spoke specifically to you. That was very merciful of God to do that. Respond to Him by coming and praying to Him this morning for just a moment at this altar. We don't need to get tired or weary or grow old of using the altar when God speaks to our hearts. It's a very important part of the service. Well, thank you for it, Lord, that you'll bless the invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, please. The ladies are playing. You come now. The Spirit of God spoke to your heart. If you're not sure that you're saved, would you come this morning? If you raised your hand, that God spoke to you in a specific way, would you come this morning? If you need to be baptized, would you come this morning? Would you respond? Would you do God the honor? If God spoke to you, you speak back to Him.